We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome back to, well, yet another somber edition of the House of Hoosier podcast, brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. It is late on Thursday night, January the 18th, less than 24 hours before the Hoosiers head up to Madison, Wisconsin to take on the Badgers. And we're here for not a Field of 68 After Dark, that's a different brand, but a House of Hoosier After Dark to recap the Purdue game and look ahead to Wisconsin. I'm Austin Platt, alongside my co-host Ben Howler. As usual, special guest from the Indy Star, Zion Brown, a reporter, and another the other co-sports director at WIOX Sports. We brought on William McDermott a few episodes ago. Zion, the bar is set very low for you, I must say, after that one. Indiana's performance was bad. And then after the Rutgers game, we talked to William, and now here we are after Purdue. How you doing, Z-Man?
I'm good. And I'm glad to hear that me and William were having this long car ride to Wisconsin on Friday. So I'll make sure to know that the bar was apparently set low, so we can have something to talk about there. But yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Indiana's play lately, the bar is kind of more or less set on the ground, as Indiana has plenty of work to do after the really embarrassing loss to Purdue the other night at Assembly Hall on Tuesday night, after Indiana came out on fire with a great win against Minnesota, giving themselves some momentum, and then completely laid an egg. They lost by 21 points, whatever it was, and the game was more or less kind of wrapped up at halftime, as Indiana was down 51-29 at that point. Zion, let's just talk about first things that you saw from that Purdue game. Just the incredibly slow start and just the inability to guard Zach Edey.
Yeah, those were the two main things that stood out to me. One is the Zach Edey guarding, just the way that every time Zach Edey caught the ball, he was within 4 feet of the basket. Now, that's not to say there were a few times where Khalil Ware was so long that even though Edey had a great positioning, he got up a great contestant and forced a miss. That being said, the man still scored 33 points, so couldn't have done that well of a job. Every time he caught the ball, he was just so close to the rim. Indiana, whether it was Khalil Ware, Peyton Sparks, Malik Renew, they had to try everybody because of some foul trouble. It didn't matter who it was. Nobody could stop him from just getting that deep seal and deep positioning. And, I mean, it's well known. Once he gets that deep, it's over. You know, you're not really going to stop him, at least not a lot. Obviously, like I said, Ware did it a few times in that game. And then on the other end, what stood out to me was the post play on the other end. Not anything that specifically happened with the post players, but whenever Malik Renew caught the ball, he likes to catch the ball kind of, he faces up before he posts up, if that makes sense. And when Malik Renew caught the ball, there would be a guard just staring right at him. Usually you see some shading, maybe a quick stunt or a dig. You would see Braden Smith or Lance Jones or somebody just staring into Malik Renew's soul, for better or less, because they knew that Indiana was not a threat to shoot the ball from outside. And those are the main things that stood out in the half-court play. And then Purdue just got to the line time and time again and got the wide lead that they never gave back.
Yeah, Zion, I know a lot of people disagree. I've had this conversation the last couple of days, and I think it's hard to say that the losses, at least the transition from what we saw last year to this year, says more about Purdue than it does about Indiana. But I think you can make an argument. I think Purdue this year just finally has guard play. And it's not only guard play. People always talked about Indiana, Purdue needs to improve their guard play. That's how they become a bona fide national title contender. It's the wings, too. I mean, Lance Jones and Fletcher Lawyer looked great. And that's what Purdue has this season. And it's the fact they had guys like that in the past, But the depth wasn't quite there. Fletcher Loyer and Lance Jones aren't the only two guys that can score 17 points outside of Zach Edey on this Purdue team. That being said, my biggest concern for the Indiana team, I think, is just leadership. Everyone knows what's going on with Xavier Johnson right now, or doesn't know what's going on with Xavier Johnson right now. And I have 0 points in the last three games, and a flagrant two and a flagrant one in the last three games. The video going viral of Zach Edey beating Khalil Ware to the ground when Khalil Ware was much closer to the ball. It's just a lot of that going on in Indiana right now. That it's culture is not quite the word I've used. I think the word is overused in a lot of ways, but I think the attitude of this Indiana team right now is just in the dumps.
I have a word for it. I would say it's vibes more than anything. This team, throughout Mike Woodson's 3-year tenure, they face adversity. They face hardship every single year. I've been around all 3 years, so it's often the vibes seem lower right now as far as just the intermingling of the roster than it has in the previous 2 years. 2 years ago, this team was a bubble team. They had to win a couple of games in the Big Ten tournament to get in the NCAA tournament. But at no point during that season did I feel like, oh, these guys don't like each other, or, and I don't want to say the guys on the current team don't like each other, but they don't seem that close. They don't seem like, outside of a few players, mainly some of the front court players, they don't seem like guys that are just like, nailed by the hip no matter what they're doing on or off the court. Whereas it's felt that way in the previous Mike Woodson years. And like you said, the leadership and the lack of energy in spurts is just kind of concerning and really glaring when you watch this Indiana team.
Not many times you get booed at halftime off your home floor, especially against Purdue, one of the worst losses at home against Purdue since I think the year was 1934. It goes a long, long way back, which just shows you how embarrassing that loss really was. But they could have, come out in the second half and laid another egg and lost by 40 points and had people leave, at the 12-minute mark. But no, they showed some fight in the first few minutes. Silent. Let's talk about kind of the response at least Indiana had going into that, that first little spurt in the second half. Indiana got off to a solid lead in the first few minutes. Mbako looked good, made some big shots, and then Trey Galloway in the second half turned it on. He made some good shots. What, I guess, from that 5-minute stretch could you look at in that second half and say, okay, we can use this going forward? Because a lot of that film, it probably has already been recycled when we're recording this.
Yeah, I would say the way that Indiana turned their stops into quick offense is the thing you may point to and say that can be used going forward. You think about the threes they had. Trey Galloway, I think at least one, maybe two of his threes were kind of semi-transition at least. Same with the three that Gabe Cupps made in that game. The way that they made the second and third and even fourth efforts on defense in that span, and they were able to turn that into quicker baskets on the other end. That's what really stood out to me during that, 5 or 6 minute span where they made a push. They got it within 9 at one point. And that's why I think they were able to do that, is because the way they were able to use those stops. Purdue couldn't set up their defense. Purdue's a defense that when they're set, it's hard to beat. You've got a great defender like Lance Jones, or even if Ethan Morton's in on the perimeter, then you've got a guy, obviously you got Edey down low, it's hard to get by. Caleb First, when he's in the game, is a really strong defender. So when Purdue is set defensively, they're hard to score on. But when you can get those stops and they're backpedaling, it's not always transition, but when you have them backpedaling instead of just set up in their stance, it's a different game.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
It was another big part of that first half, I think, and it's a mistake Mike Woodson even admitted. I just don't think he's figured out substitution patterns yet, or what lineups he likes together. Some of that's on Indiana, some of that's on Woodson. I mean, you being around the media, you know Mike Woodson hates getting those questions, and he won't answer about substitutions. He won't give explanations, and you know, coaches don't owe everything, every piece of information to the media. But I truly think part of that is Mike Woodson doesn't know himself what he wants or doesn't have a plan. Once again, that's some part of the team. But not putting Mackenzie Mbako and Khalil Ware in the game with two fouls when the lead is getting out of hand. I mean, you go down by 20 to Purdue, that game's pretty much out of hand. I mean, they had the little spurt at the beginning of the second half. But I think after those two fouls got cut from like 12 to 21, and that's a range right there. You just can't let happen. And I know you obviously don't want to risk getting the third fouls for those two valuable players. But with how well offensively Mbako was playing at the start of the game, I just think that's a tough decision to make.
Yeah, Ben, that's what I wrote about after that game is the substitution patterns and more or less why Mackenzie Mbako and Khalil Ware didn't come back into that game. You mentioned it. Mbako scored the first 7 points of the game for Indiana. And then he got a questionable charge call. I can go all day about stupid, you know, block charge calls. He got a questionable charge call. And then on the other end, the very next play, he does what a freshman does. He was out of position on defense, not ready to help, and just commits a dumb foul. And Trey Galloway talked about that after the game. He said, "We were committing dumb fouls." I know a lot of Indiana fans don't want to hear that. They were mad the entire game. And some of the foul calls were bad. I agree with some of the complaints, but a lot of times Indiana was just committing fouls that weren't smart, that had nothing to really do with affecting the play, and that got them out of rhythm. But as far as Mbako and Khalil Ware sitting for that long, they should not have been on that bench for that long. I don't know if Indiana would have been close in the game had they been in, but I knew for a fact why they were sitting out for that whole time until the last 3 minutes of the first half. Indiana lost the game there. They were never going to be able to come back from that deficit they had gathered by sitting two of their best players on that night, the guy that was going to be their best scorer in Mbako. And they just gave the game away. Mike Woodson and his coaching staff were never able to recover, and they just waited way too long to put two of the main starters, the main pieces of this team, back onto the court.
You say two, and this brings up something that for me, yes, we could talk about substitutions, but at the beginning of the game, I don't remember the first time. I can't point to a time where Indiana doubled Zach Edey in the post as soon as the ball was there. It took them a while, it felt like, in my mind, to double him. And sure, Khalil Ware has the height, but he doesn't have the size. And Malik Renu, we know defensively at times, will just foul. We know Zach Edey will probably get more calls than other players will in this conference. But for me, I was like watching, and I was like, where's the double team? And at one point, you know, as you mentioned, Edey caught the ball so deep that there was no, even if you doubled, he could just score over both of them. So I felt like, I don't know if I'm crazy here, but why didn't Indiana double Edey right from the jump?
I'm not sure exactly why they didn't do that. It's tough this year. It felt much like a much easier thing to do last year when Purdue didn't shoot the three that well. But this year, you have a lot of guys shooting the ball well. I know Braden Smith was 0-for-6 in this game, but you can't go into the game saying, oh, I know he's going to miss all 6 of his 3-point attempts. You know, you just don't know that's going to happen beforehand. Even in the game on Tuesday, Fletcher Warrior was 4-for-4. So those two kind of offset each other. You had one that was, you know, missed everything and one that made everything. So it's hard to figure out when to double Edey and whatnot. But I really think Mike Woodson and the coaching staff, they were preparing, they were hoping that Khalil Ware could do more work before the catch than he did in this game. I think that's where they lost those battles, is before the catch. Like I said, he was getting the ball so deep. I wondered at one point if they were going to front Zach Edey with Khalil Ware and try to see if they could throw it over the top. of Khalil Ware, and Khalil Ware could use his hands in the passing lane. They never really tried that. So between, you know, sending an earlier double team or just doing your work before the ball is even thrown there, I think Indiana could have maybe done a better job and schemed up a better plan than what we saw in that game.
Look at big picture now. The Purdue loss, obviously, you lose at home to the number 2 team in the country, is not usually not a huge negative on your record. Not a ton of bad losses for Indiana right now, but the metrics are really bad. And there are a lot of time left, but they're in the, I think, exactly at 100 in the net right now, somewhere in the 90s, and KenPom. And a big reason why, I mean, margin of victory matters. And in quad one games, Indiana is 0-5 with an average margin of defeat of 17.5. They can't play close with good teams right now. And usually in a situation like this, in a normal year, Indiana would have plenty of more opportunities in quad one games to not only pick up some wins, but just be competitive in some more. But there's only 6 left. It's a down year for the Big Ten. The net doesn't love the Big Ten a whole lot. Are you worried right now about – and obviously, with the metrics that bad, you're going to be somewhat worried. But do you think, you know, Indiana needs a win against Wisconsin or Illinois on the road, which is going to be tough as it is, to keep their tournament hopes alive?
I think it would be tough for IU to lose both of these next 2 upcoming games, the Wisconsin game on Friday night, the Illinois game next Saturday, and have a realistic shot to make the NCAA tournament. You mentioned it. They don't have a single quad one win, and we are on January 19th. I mean, that's not acceptable. That's not – there's a lot of bubble teams that already have multiple quad one wins that are still going to be on the bubble. So for Indiana to be right there right now and not have a single one, I just don't think it'll be likely if this team loses to both Wisconsin and Illinois for them to say, okay, we could turn around and still make the tournament. There's not enough quality games left in the Big Ten schedule.
It's completely fair. You talk about the big picture and what that the average, you know, margin of loss in those quad one games. If it wasn't for the Kansas game, those other 4 or whatever it is, or that's more like 25. So Indiana lost by like 5 to Kansas, and all those other games were closer to 30, you know, to 25-30 than they were to 10-15. So Indiana kind of, you know, saved themselves there by keeping it close to Kansas. But that's yet again a game Indiana should have won. Let's also talk big picture. I have to ask. I asked Durham about this. And Xavier Johnson, it's 3 straight games now. The last 3 games, he's been pathetic. I mean, quite literally, he's just – I don't think he scored a single point, hasn't found his rhythm. You know, the Rutgers game, he had quite literally a low moment in that game when he got ejected going, you know, beneath the belt. This game, you know, another, you know, flagrant foul, you know, pushing on Zach Edey, which didn't help. Where does Indiana go with him? We've sat here and we've said, you know, Indiana's a better team still with him. I think as a 6th-year guy, he's got to play. Gabe Cupps is a freshman, is still a true freshman, still learning. But where in the heck does Indiana go with Xavier Johnson? If they, you know, obviously they're going to keep him on the team. There's going to be no punishments or anything like that. But how the heck does Indiana put him into a rhythm and get him going? Because without X, Indiana, I don't think has any chance of even maybe finishing top half in the Big Ten at this rate.
I'll be honest with you, Austin. I think if Indiana doesn't win against Wisconsin or Illinois and they lose that home game on January 30th against Iowa, I think we could be heading toward a scenario where we basically, I don't say ever, but we basically stop seeing Xavier Johnson playing games. And that's not because he's not good at all or anything, but because at that point you're looking at a team that would be 4-6 in Big 12 in Big Ten play, excuse me, 12-9 on the season, and just on the way, way outskirts of making the NCAA tournament. And if you're Mike Woodson at that point, if you're the whole coaching staff, you're saying, okay, the future at point guard for us is Gabe Cupps. Trey Galloway, if he wants to, he could come back next year for his 5th and final year of eligibility. Where at point guard at the ball handling position does Xavier Johnson fall in that? Xavier Johnson came back to Indiana. They came back to Bloomington to compete, you know, near the top of the Big Ten and to make the tournament again. And if you're at a place where that's almost impossible to do, I don't know if he would stay as a consistent mainstay in the lineup, especially given just the way it's played out for him on the court this year.
Wow.
I think Indiana Barstool account just needs to post the Sacred Triangle again. Maybe that gets Xavier Johnson going, like some anger under his fire. Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I really do think it's such a big part of why Indiana's struggling like this. It's one thing to see your leader struggle on the court, But off the court, with some of the mistakes he's making, it's just so hard when you see somebody who's been in the game for 6 years and you're a freshman or you're a sophomore and you just transferred. It's just hard to see that and hard to find a leader on that team. Now, looking forward, we talked about those two games. You think they need at least one win to stay in the NCAA tournament? It starts with Friday, and the fact that Wisconsin just lost to Penn State does not make things any easier.
No, it doesn't. That's a great point. Wisconsin is going to come into this game on Friday ticked off because they're looking at it like they have a real chance to win the Big Ten regular season, which I don't think many people thought even at the beginning of like December when Big Ten play started. People thought it was going to be a runaway Purdue victory. Then out of nowhere, Wisconsin starts 5-0, and you don't expect to drop the game at Penn State. I know it's an away game, but Penn State, probably the worst team in the conference this year. You don't expect to drop that game. So they're going to be upset. They're going to be coming out with a fire. Not that IU won't. Obviously, IU just lost by 20 points. They should have some sort of pride in that. But the fact that Wisconsin's at home, we know the almost 30-year streak now of Indiana not being able to win at the Kohl Center. This is a Wisconsin team that is going to come out motivated and really wanting to just not even mess around with this game against an inferior IU team.
You mentioned this is a Wisconsin team that has probably overperformed to this point. Sure, I don't think they've played the likes of Illinois or Purdue yet, which is kind of what we think to be the clear top three in the conference right now. And then everyone else can kind of be just shuffled in that tier two category, as Ben and I always like to do these tier lists for the Big Ten. And I think we might as well just stop because it's just making ourselves pull our hair
Not
out.
even
But
close.
it's
No.
this it's just not fun. It's brutal. But you look at this Wisconsin team, they're balanced. They have a good point guard and Chucky Hepburn, shooters, Connor Asigian. They have the two bigs down low, Wall and Crowell. I don't think Brad Davidson's on the team anymore, but who knows how many years of
Wouldn't be
eligibility.
surprised if he just suited up and came back for this game.
Where, Zion, could Indiana exploit this Wisconsin team? They're 11-point underdogs, but how can Indiana put up a fight, I guess, is what we're just kind of trying to look for in these quad one games. But where can Indiana look and maybe give themselves, tell themselves they have a fighting shot against the Badgers, and not in a house of Hoosier, but in a house of horrors that has been what is it, the Kohl Center, or whatever that place is. 1998 is the last time they won. How can Indiana break that streak?
It's going to be tough. I mean, you look at this Wisconsin team, the balance is what strikes me the most. They have a lot of players that can just contribute at any night. Right now, they've got six guys at above 8 points apiece. And the sixth of those six guys is Chucky Hepburn, who we've seen be, I think he was their second leading scorer last year. The seventh guy averaging just 3 points a game is Connor Asigian, who had a really good freshman season. So this team, you can kind of hit you from anywhere. The battle of the bigs is going to be the main thing here. I mean, you got Kroll and Wall going against Malik Renu and Khalil Ware, and it'll be just about who can play smarter basketball. Foul trouble, of course, is going to play a factor anytime you talk about four really good big men. Who can stay out of foul trouble, and then who can just stay composed and be smart on their post plays and make the right plays from the post. I think that is going to be the most fascinating part of this game. If Indiana's bigs can really punch the Wisconsin bigs in the mouth early on, then we might be looking at a game where IU can really compete and be in it for a whole 40 minutes.
It's an interesting matchup with Crowell and Wall and then Renu and Khalil Ware, because they're very different style bigs too. But you have four really good bigs in the game tomorrow, which is going to make it a ton of fun to watch. And none of them are Zach Edey, so I think Indiana fans are going to be happy about that. I think it's a winnable game for Indiana. I know that the sentiment that you get a lot, especially in the Big Ten, where it's like Wisconsin's just going to be ticked off just coming off that loss. Sometimes those kind of games hurt your confidence. And Indiana just comes out on a hot night. Wisconsin stays cold. It's not the most unrealistic thing in the world, but I do think that they need one of the next two against Wisconsin, against Illinois. So after that, you have four quad one games. Usually, you're in Big Ten play playing that many. You're going to need at least three to sneak into the tournament, and getting three of those next four is kind of tough. You go to Purdue, you go to Ohio State. What's going to Ohio State for basketball is like coming to Indiana for football. I mean, it's just not the a same kind of atmosphere as you get with the other sports. Michigan State, who for some reason the net loves, comes to Indiana, and then Wisconsin will come to Indiana later in the year. That being said, so important to Indiana. Give me a score prediction for tomorrow or for tonight.
Oh man. I think Indiana covers that 11-point spread that Austin mentioned, but I'm going to say it is a 73-66 Wisconsin win. I don't see Indiana winning this game after the way Wisconsin just got upset at Penn State. I think another big thing in this one is AJ Storr, who Indiana puts on him because he's the small forward. And I just kind of mentioned the McKenzie Mbako defensive struggles. Do you want to put your freshman on a more experienced sophomore guard who's 6'6" and can score himself? Or do you want to see if Trey Galloway can kind of play up and you kind of mix around the lineups defensively? That would be a big part of this game. At the end, I think Indiana probably would just can't score quite enough to keep up with this team. And I think the Badgers get out of here with the win, getting back on track in the Big Ten.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale. Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
This game might remind me a little bit of the Rutgers away game last year. I think it's low scoring, and maybe there's just Wisconsin goes on a big run in the second half and just drowns Indiana out. And I think, I don't know if Wisconsin even gets to the 70s. We know that, you know, in the past they'll score 43 points and somehow still win basketball games. But I think this is kind of a 68-59 Wisconsin win where they really pull away late. But I think Indiana plays this one close for at least 30 minutes. And, you know, sometimes after the way last performance went, that's all you can ask for. But we mentioned you need one of these two wins. So, Ben, we all said Purdue in the last episode when we were on with the co-host of the old Gold Show. So if we all go Wisconsin here, either we're Sunday Night Football and they're completely wrong and Indiana wins and reverse psychology, or we're just going to do this again and Wisconsin's going to blow us out.
Okay, I promise that before you said that and both of you guys said Wisconsin, I was going to pick Indiana. You know, not only to be different, but I think once again, Indiana.
You're not impressed by the Wisconsin team, are you? You're not impressed by this Wisconsin team, are you?
They're defensively a really good team, but I think offensively, they just go on so many lulls. I mean, when you play so slow as they do, I think, you know, you go cold for a little bit of time and it's so hard to get back into games. I think Indiana can score a little more consistently than this Wisconsin team can. At least that's what I've seen in the last few games from Wisconsin and before that Purdue game for Indiana. It is going to be low scoring. We're not going to see a whole lot of possessions in this game. If you like seeing fast-paced offense, it's not for you. I do like 69-67 Indiana Hoosiers get their first win at Kohl Center since 1998.
Yeah, you look at this Wisconsin team, their strength is not making mistakes on offense, which is that's their biggest strength, which is a great quality to have with your team. But sometimes when you need a bucket, I can get what you're saying. The fact that what I mentioned about the kind of egalitarian approach where anybody can get you a bucket, that's a gift and a curse at times. I get where you're coming from there.
Well, let's hope that Indiana can turn things around. There is, you know, we're trying to stay optimistic here after the embarrassment to Purdue. There are no students on the Wisconsin campus yet. They don't start classes until next week, and maybe whoever Wisconsin fans are still in attendance might still, you know, be Packers fans and still rooting for that team. So, you know, maybe the stock is all in the Green Bay Packers for Sunday night and not in the Wisconsin Badgers tonight. Friday night, a big tip-off at the Kohl Center. Indiana really looks to change their season around. 8:30 Eastern tip-off. I'm pretty sure. Is it a Peacock? Are we need a Peacock subscription again tonight for this game?
No, this is an FS1 game, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we don't need a Peacock subscription again.
This is a WAX instead, though. Still,
that's FS1. True.
I don't know. I heard the guys broadcasting that one aren't very good.
Hey, it'll be me and Zach Browning. So if you enjoy good broadcasting, I think you'll like to tune in WAX.
Well, maybe if Indiana's getting blown out, maybe then we might have to listen to you and change some things up. But that'll do it for the special House of Hoosier After Dark podcast alongside my co-host Ben Howler. I'm Austin Platt. Special thanks, Zion. Thanks for coming on. Zion Brown from
thanks
the Indy Star.
Me.
Go follow him on Twitter and whatnot. And I keep up with his great work and all of his great articles he puts out about Indiana basketball. But tonight, Indiana looks to change their season around. And we will talk to you next week here on the House of Hoosier podcast.